Morning. Happy Lord's Day. I just want to give you a little update before I get started on me. Tuesday, I go in for a procedure for a biopsy on my prostate. They're going to look in my bladder and check my prostate to make sure we have no spread there, just because of the symptoms that I have been having lately. So Tuesday at 12 o'clock, I go in for that procedure. So just keep me in your prayers. I've developed a few other things. I've developed a shake that's developed in my hand for some odd reason. Just keep me in your prayers and everything goes well. And like I always said, the Lord's got it. It doesn't matter. We're not worried about it. It's all in His plans. So anytime they put me under, it's usually a little tricky, but like I said, good Lord going to let me sleep well. And so that Tuesday at 12 o'clock when I go in for that procedure. Yeah, we've been studying the book of Acts, and it's becoming one of my most favorite books of the Bible. Because there's so much we're learning about the Holy Spirit and about the beginning of the church and everything that related to it. First of all, I want to start off with, if you see the title, it's Because the Truth Matters, T-H. Because you'll see that's what we're going to talk about this morning. God's Word, God's truth matters in all that we do. If you're following along in the books or on the outline that I give you this morning, we're in chapter 13, lesson 13 in your books for this morning. We went over chapter 14 and 15 this morning. That was a really good lesson. And if you're not able to be here on the Sunday mornings, I encourage you to come because there's so much interaction that we're having in the class. And there's so much that leads up to this lesson that it adds to this lesson so much. And it's an opportunity that I can learn from y'all as well. Let's start off in the Acts chapter 8, starting with verse 1. And let's read through the first little note that I have here, if you're following along in my notes. On the first day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judah and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house, dragging out both men and women, and put them in prison. You know, we always talk about God says ain't nothing new to him, and he ain't surprising this. So at this point, when Saul was going from destroying the church by going from house to house, he dragged out both men and women. The persecution began. This wasn't unexpected to God. And, you know, you got to look at Satan's mentality was, all right, Christ is risen. All right, I'm going to start attacking the church. I'm going to start persecuting the church. I'm going to start, as it says in scriptures here, and I think it does that for a purpose, starts to destroy the church. But in Matthew, like I said, Jesus talked about this happening. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, it tells us this, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Jesus told Peter, said, "Look, I'm going to build my church here on this rock. And nothing that comes that's getting ready to happen that you see, you need to realize and understand, nothing will bring down my church." Because in John 3:16, you know, we just sang that song, that new song. That was sung in Ladies' Day, I figured. That was a beautiful song. "His goodness comes after me, chases after me." Think about that for a second. Why would we be running from goodness in the first place? But we do. But God doesn't stop God from coming after us. No matter what state we are in our lives, no matter what situation we are in our lives, He comes after us. I was just overwhelmed when I heard that song sung this morning, what it truly means that the Lord, His joy, His goodness is coming after us. And it tells us that in the next verse in there, just give in. And that's what we need to do. Because in John 3:16 it tells us, and we all know this verse, 3:16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." His goodness is chasing after us. And that's, and so God knew all this persecution was coming. He knew that the church would be persecuted. But what did that do? In verse 4 it says, "Those who have been scattered preached the word wherever they went." He didn't. Satan thought he was destroying the church, but Satan was spreading the church. Satan became a part of God's plan. Well, Satan thought he was going to be able to come in there and stop this church and start persecuting and getting people to work for his side to destroy the church. All Satan did was do God's work for him. He spread the word. It's powerful how wonderful God is and how He keeps His promises. That's one thing you need to realize: when the truth matters, God's word matters when He makes promises to us. Let's read on for a little bit. "Philip went in down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowd heard Philip and saw the signs he was performing, they all paid close attention to what he said. For an imported spirit came out of many, and many were paralyzed or lame, were healed. So there was a great joy in that city." Samaria. You know, they've been waiting for this day. Because, you know, you go back to God's promise all the way back to Abraham. He said, because of your seed, all nations would be blessed. The woman at the well talked about this, as we talked about in class this morning. They knew that their Messiah was coming that would bless all the earth. That it wasn't just for the Israelite people. Because they asked Jesus about that when they had that interaction. And now the day is here. So they were paying close attention and listen to the joy that they had. So there was great joy within that city. You know, I can't imagine waiting for something in great anticipation. The Israelite people, I think, were taking for granted of what blessings they had. But the rest of the world was waiting anticipation for that day to come. And now Satan just helped it happen. He spread the word by creating persecution and spread the word throughout the world. And the joy that it brought to them. That they finally are receiving the promise that was given back to Abraham. Mark 16, 15 and 19 tells us, and we know these verses well as well. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." What part of the world did that leave out? He told them to go preach to all the world the gospel, to every creature. What creatures did that leave out? God's intent was for everyone. Where would we be without this promise? Have you thought about that? Where would we be? "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned." Let's back up for a second. Let's go back to our class this morning. Whoever believes and is baptized. We're given examples throughout Acts and throughout what baptism is supposed to be and what it's all about. We're going to go into that in a little bit further here in a moment. But His word matters. When some people tell you baptism is not essential and all that other stuff, to what I'm reading here, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. His word matters. So what we teach matters. "But whoever does not believe is condemned, and the signs will accomplish those who believe in the name that will drive out demons. He talks about speaking in tongues here. He talks about dealing with snakes and drinking poison. It will not hurt them at all. They will be placed their hands on the sick, and they will get well. After that, Jesus spoke to them. He was taken up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. You know what's going on here? You know, Jesus will tell them, this is all we're going to have to do. So they know that you are the one that are preaching. All these signs are coming and being compassed to you so that they'll know the truth. You know why we don't need all those signs today? We have the miracle of Scripture. I say it's a miracle of Scripture because you tell me one other book that's lasted this long. You tell me one other book. It's the most popular book in the whole world. Books have come and gone. But God's Word has stood strong until the very end. So if somebody comes up and we want to know if they're teaching God's Word, all we got to do is flip open the book and say, where did you get that? What book, chapter, and verse did you get that from? We can check people. We can understand where they're coming from. I don't think we appreciate the miracle of Scripture. It's God breathed. That's important. Word matters. The truth matters. We need to understand that. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 9 through 14, it tells us this. And they will be handed over to persecution unto death. And you will be hated by all nations because of who? Because of me. And at the time they will turn away from you, the faith, and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people because of the increased wickedness. And the love most will grow cold. You know, I struggle with that. The love will grow cold. But I look around this world and see people more about themselves than about others. I see these things. I see we look through what's being taught by Scripture. We have the Word. But there's so many false teachings that are going on today. And we have it right here. And the world is getting colder because they're more worried about each other, themselves, than about one another. Let's read on. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Brothers and sisters, he tells us right there, and we're going to have to stand firm. No matter how few of brothers and sisters that show up to church, no matter how few of us there is at the end, we need to stand firm in the truth. No matter where the world goes, no matter where our family goes, no matter where our coworker goes, no matter where this country goes, we need to stand firm. When it gets down to the last few of us, we need to stand stronger and harder than anybody ever did before us. We need to stand firm. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Tell me the end's not coming. Just reading this, tell me that there's getting fewer and fewer of us, and fewer who want to hear the truth. But it says when it reaches all the nations. And I thought about that. You know, what with all technology, and what part of the world can we not get to in today's time? We can show up to any part of the world. We can fly there, take a boat there. There's probably been, because of satellite and everything, there's probably not a part of this world that has not been discovered yet. That just tells me time is getting close. Because the work is almost done. You know how we get the work done? Do we know how we get Christ and God here? Russ said it before. You know how we do it? Is we spread the gospel. Because as soon as it reaches everybody that it could possibly reach, the Lord's coming. So you're tired of this world? Let's bring it to an end. Let's get the Lord here. Let's get our reward. And we get out there doing His work. That's what we need to do. Now, I want to read in verse 9, Simon, this person Simon that practiced witchery and different stuff and through his teaching here. He's a unique individual. When I saw this, I go, why is this part in the Bible? Then it hits me as we go through, and I'll tell you where I come from. Sorcery is what he does, and it says in the verse here is what I just came across. So let's start with verse 9. We're on page 2 if you don't know where I'm at. Verse 9 and page 2. Now, for some time, a man named Simon was practicing sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Simon. He boasted that he was someone great. Is there a problem there already? He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their astonishment and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." Ah, we got an issue here. They followed him because they were amazed them with all the time with his sorcery. You know, what is sorcery? It's trickery. You need to realize what he's got is not the true power, and he's not doing anything. It's trickery. We go to magic shows all the time. That's what they're talking about. This man had a way to ram up the crowd and get them going and do sorcery. But he didn't have no power. But they knew that at the end. In verse 12, "But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized." There's that word baptism again. "They were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized and followed Philip anywhere, astonished on by the great signs and miracles he saw." You got to realize one thing. Simon here believed. He knew there was something going on here. There was something different about what was going on. He was even baptized into this because he knew there had to be, there's more to this. And so he's following them around, watching them. "And when the apostles in Jerusalem had heard that Simon had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria." Now, you know, this man must have really got a name going around because they even knew who he was. And they must have been astonished that, man, he was baptized. So they sent Simon and Peter. But why did they send him down there? Let's look. "When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not come yet, because no one of them that had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." The Lord Jesus. You know, there was something missing there in their baptism. They didn't receive the Holy Spirit for a reason. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20 tells us this. "Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you all the way to the very end of the age." You know, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. But we are told in Scriptures that we need to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because it's the three in one that we're becoming a part of. So the truth matters. They saw there was something wrong, a mistake. They needed to be baptized with everything. So when we teach, what we teach matters today. They need to know the whole truth. We need to teach the whole truth. Because when we do our baptism, we need to do what is correct and right. And when we teach, we need to do what is correct and right. In verse 17, it says this, "And then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying of the hands of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. He offered them money and said, give me also the ability so that everyone who I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. He was baptized. He received the Holy Spirit. But what is he missing? Because the truth matters. What is he missing here? I like Peter's answer. Peter's answer, may your money perish with you, because though you could, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money.
Wesley was talking about this morning. We can't give enough to the Lord. We can't buy his grace and mercy. We don't have it in our ability to be able to match what is giving to us. You have no parts of sharing in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of the wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hopes that he may forgive you and have such a thought in your heart. For I've seen that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. And he told Simon when he heard this, then Simon answered Peter, pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me. He knew the truth. You know, brothers and sisters, it comes down to this. We can try to repent. We can go through the steps and confess that Christ is the Son of God, because I'm sure that he did that. We can be baptized in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. But if our heart is not ready for acceptance, what's required of us, it still ain't going to do any good. And when I was going through that growing up in the church, I wonder why people were baptized and shortly fell away. And I'm going, why? You saw how they were prior to that. How excited they were at the beginning, because their heart wasn't ready for acceptance. And I look around to the church today, we have a little bit of COVID, and we've talked about this before, and people don't come back. Are you committed to the Lord? Are you giving all your heart to the Lord? Because it matters. We can do all this stuff, but if we don't accept and let the Lord take control of our life, none of it matters. And we need to understand that. And I wonder why that story was in there until I got to that point. Well, I brought it up in class this morning. Those are one of the stories that I like to know the rest of the story. Because you can see it in him that he knows what Peter is telling is true and right. He knows he needs to correct it, but will his heart allow him to? Will he stop doing what he used to do? Will he truly repent? Will he truly change his life and start serving the Lord? Let's not beat him up too bad, because we need to look at ourselves. Are we truly committing to the Lord to do his work? Are we truly giving our heart to the Lord and let him control our life? Or are we just kind of moving on doing our thing? As we talked about in class this morning, we just live in our lives. We need to look at our lives and see where are we at. And this is, like I said, one of the stories in the Bible I wish I'd read later on and find out what was the rest of the story. Was he truly corrected in his heart at that point? Or did he just continue on doing his sorcery and witchcrafts and doing his magic and trying to get people to look at him? Because true miracles, we talked about it before, for a true miracle to happen, two things need to occur. It needs to be God's will, and he needs to be glorified. If it ain't, it's just magic. It's just sorcery. It's not real. People can say they can do these things, but no. Unless those two things occur, it's not happening. There's a trick to it. In Acts chapter 20 and verses 20 through 28, it reads this. You know that I have
not hesitated to preach everything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to you both Jew and Greek that they may turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. We got to have faith in the Lord. He held it back to nobody. We need to be the same way, proclaiming the word. But let's read on. And now, completely by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, only knowing that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race, complete the task the Lord Christ Jesus has given to me. The task of testifying the good news of God's grace. Is that a really hard task? All we got to do is preach and teach the word and live our life according to His will. It sounds so simple, but why is it so hard? Because Satan's involved. I can tell you, he tries to upend us in every way possible. He tries to tell us and does his sorcery and tricks to try to tell us why we shouldn't do it. Now I know that none of you among you I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I decided to declare to you today that I am in the blood of in any of you. For I have not hesitated to proclaim the whole will of God. Now listen to this. It's highlighted for you. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherd of the church, which is bought with His own blood. There's our assignment. You want to know what your homework is for this week? It's right there. Preach and teach the gospel. Look out over the church. Make sure it's strong. Make sure it has what it needs. Why do you think that we do what we do every Sunday? We come together because we need each other. We come together so these doors stay open. When we give to the church, we give so to make sure that we're healthy and strong in this community. We have a purpose here. It's not really hard if we really try to it. That's our golden life. Not to get that new car or new house. Not to get that new position at work, and not to none of that has any value whatsoever. What has value is what's going on here right now, and what He's asking of us when we go out there. You know, I gave an assignment this morning in Bible class. I just want you this week to tell somebody about Jesus. If you go to the food market, or go to the Walmart, or go to Lowe's, or go out shopping anywhere, and you come across somebody and they just talk to you, tell them Happy Lord's Day. Let them know that interaction. Somebody asks you about it. You know, those who weren't in class today, and Carla, thank you, Carla, for helping me out this morning. I got an idea of going through this lesson, what I want to put on my license plate. And all I want to know on my license plate is to say this, ask me. So when I get out of the car and somebody looks at my license plate and looks and goes, ask you what? Ask me about Jesus. Ask me what He did in my life. Ask me why I've been changed. We need to look for those opportunities to preach and teach the gospel in every opportunity that we have. Show kindness and mercy as God has shown us. Because if you look at your life and seeing what God has done to you, that's what you implement and share with others. They need to see Christ in you.
So we need to take the opportunity to spread the gospel wherever we go. It basically comes down to these last verses, three verses that I want to read to you this morning. Revelation 2, verse 10 tells us this: "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison and test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days, being faithful even to the point of death." We talked about that this morning. Wesley brought that. "Even to the point of death. And we give you life." And he says, "And I will give you life as your victory crown." We're supposed to be faithful unto death. Hebrews chapter 6 tells us this in 11 and 12. "He wants each one of you to keep working to the end." Working till when? When do we get our retirement? What a retirement we're going to get. It's out of this world. But until we get to that judgment day, until we get to heaven, we ain't supposed to be working. So if I'm 99 years old and laying on my deathbed, what am I supposed to be doing? Somebody comes up to my bed, "Let me tell you about Jesus." Doesn't it change the mentality of this world, even of the church, of what we're supposed to do as Christians? We're supposed to be working to the end. "Then what you hope for will happen." Oh man, I thought about that for a minute. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm trying to imagine in my head what my castle is going to look like. What my dwelling place is going to look like. You know what my dwelling place looks like? I look to the back, there's a mountain. I look to the front, there's an ocean. I'm surrounded. I just got this picture where trees and beauty and everywhere around. I'm going to go to the beach, I walk out the front door. I'm going to go to the mountains, I walk out the back door. I'm just trying to picture what heaven's going to be like for me. And he tells me, if I work to the end, what I hope for will happen. So I'm telling you right now, brothers and sisters, when I walk out my front door, there's going to be a beach. When I walk out my back door, there's going to be a mountain. I'm going to just be overwhelmed with all the beauty and glory that's around me. It's incredible. So what are we supposed to be? Be lazy? No. It says, do not be lazy. Be like those who have faith and have not given up. That's what Satan wants us to do. Satan wants you to give up. He wants you to live your life. Stop doing what you're doing. They will receive what God has promised them. We got to get our promise. We got to keep working, brothers and sisters. I want to hear on that day in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, I want to hear this. That I want to be able to say this. That I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's a lot of work we got to do, brothers and sisters. But today's a new day. What happened in the past stays in the past, because what we can do from this point on can make the world a difference to this world, to you. Because when you spread the word and you spread the gospel, you receive the blessings. Of course, they get to receive the blessing, but it's their choice. But you do God's work, you're going to receive those blessings each and every day. So this morning, you got anything going on, you got Wesley and Jerry, they will pray for you, and over top of you, the righteous man availeth much. But I encourage you to fight the good fight, to finish the race, and keep the faith. This lesson is yours this morning. Why don't you come now as we stand and sing.